Your hat that you gave me, I wear it all the time.
I know, I love it. It was the like crazy free eagle. Advertisement. Too bad I don't like sell them or no one knows what it means. Because there's nothing I can do with that advertisement. But
yeah.
It's beautiful.
Well, they can't Google, if they read my hat, they can't Google it and see what it is? And they can't buy it?
Sure, but no, they can't. But like my brothers write me and they're like, Bobby Lee's got your hat on, man.
Yeah.
They're excited.
You should sell it.
I know. Well, maybe I
just
will.
Just fucking sell it, man.
Yeah, I will now.
T-shirts maybe. And hats.
Yeah, maybe I will.
What did you say?
Do you have deodorant?
Do you need
it's
deodorant
not hard
now?
To sell.
Do you have deodorant? You
smell. I forgot to put deodorant
on. No one can smell you.
Baby, it's too late for that.
It's gonna happen.
You should have done that way before.
Annie says the host.
You don't do what you want to do headphones. Right. You don't have to do what do whatever you want to.
Disinfectant gel.
I'm good.
Can you hear me from
you
here?
Have the AC on.
Yeah,
yeah. It's
you can hear me right now.
Clear.
Okay.
So can I tell you guys a story of something that happened to me today that I need your?
But you can we start the pod? You want to do it on the podcast or
before?
All right, do pre it.
Okay, we'll do it during the podcast.
No, do it now.
You fucked it up.
It's always fucked up.
I know. That, right? You can't do anything right.
Yeah.
Well, can I tell you guys a story then?
I was nervous, by the way.
Do you want to do it during
for
the
podcast?
I did Marc Maron the other day.
Yeah.
How was that?
Didn't even bat an eye. Just like, you know, like going in there, like, let's just talk. This one, I was like chugging wine.
Why does everyone say that?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I've just listened to you. I mean, I've listened to him too, but like.
Sterling, I just want to say something that I'm equally as nervous, because when I was like, he's coming. What do we talk about? I'm tired.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. You know what I mean? And I get like internal sweats.
Yeah.
So we're all in the same
I get ball. External sweats if I'm
yeah. She gets
I do too.
Sweat stash. Yeah.
Like even when I was on Marin, like I was wondering if he was going to put this in there. Halfway through, I was like drinking his hot coffee, like 20 minutes in actually. I was like drinking his hot ass coffee.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I got to have his coffee. And then I was just like nervous as shit, forehead sweating. And he goes, are you all right, man? He's like, you need me to turn that back on? Like, don't fucking call me out.
Yeah.
Like, don't call me out like that. Like, and then luckily it wasn't on there.
Well,
but
that's
that was
really
fucking
nice. He wanted to check if you were in homeostasis. Mm.
But also when I did his podcast, it was a feeling of dread because I knew how big it was. I know that it was like a pioneer podcast show. Yeah. And I wanted it to be good, but I feel like I wanted to do it again. But
what's the one podcast you've been the most nervous to do? Like ever?
Joe Rogan.
I've never done it.
Oh, you didn't?
You have.
Not in the new age.
Oh, yeah.
Not in the new age.
Yeah.
I did it when it was like the Wild West.
The Wild West.
Yeah. I was never nervous about those. Probably Marc Maron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was nervous because it's like, you know, Obama was there. And like,
oh, right. Obama
like
was
Paul
there.
Thomas Anderson was there.
Yeah. You know,
like fucking heroes of mine. I was like, I'm sitting there and like, am I going to have anything to say? And honestly, it wasn't until I listened to the podcast back that I was like, oh, like I sounded all right. Like it wasn't that bad, you know?
Yeah.
The whole time I was like,
you're going to be terrible on this one.
Oh, I'm sure. No, I know.
I can feel it.
No, I can feel it. Too.
I really want it to be bad.
Let's make it bad.
So I'm going to throw out some things to throw a curveball.
Let's make it bad.
Curveball.
For sure.
Yeah, you're terrible now.
Yeah, no, I'm off.
You're terrible now.
Yeah, it's already failed.
This is unairable.
What if it's like the first like 30 minute long episode?
Yeah.
Pulls out a hot coffee.
Yeah.
Are you going to fucking tell your story or not?
Are you sweating?
Oh, you want to touch my armpits? Please.
I don't want to touch your imprints. Your imprints. I don't want to touch your imprints.
Your armpit imprints.
Yeah. Let's just start and then do it. Okay, let's start and do it, right? Go ahead.
Five.
But we arrow the stuff.
So no on the story?
Fuck the story. Go ahead.
Five.
No, wait. I want you to cleverly, right, weed in your story.
Uh-huh.
Not now, but somewhere in the podcast where we're not going to notice.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
Okay.
The whole podcast, I'm just going to.
Yeah, I know.
But, like jump rope.
You have to thread it. You have to thread it.
Sterling and I are going to be like, that was the story.
Yeah, okay.
So do it like so, right? Slyly.
Okay.
Right? And baby, this is a very important.
Pressure is on.
I know. All right.
Dave Chappelle.
So go ahead.
Five.
Speaking of Sogo.
That's not it, babe. Very funny. Very funny.
Go ahead. Five, four, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to another episode of Tiger Belly. I'm your Slept King, and I am feeling I'm afloat. I'm afloat.
Where?
I feel like I'm afloat somewhere in some parade.
A body of water?
No, like one of those.
St. Like,
Patty Day, May Day.
Oh, Macy's.
Oh, like Rose Bowl Macy's parade.
Macy's, Patty Days.
Yeah.
the Macy's Patty Day parade. And I feel like I'm one of those.
Grand Marshal.
No, one of those inflatable things.
Oh, like a Snoopy.
Turkey.
No.
Weather
my
blimp.
Own thing. Maybe just like the big yellow.
You do look like a weather blimp.
Yeah. Just a gigantic yellow mass of something. And with all the kids on the side, you know, going, Mommy, what's that? And the kids, parents are like, I don't fucking know, you know what I mean? But I feel good. We have people in the room. We've got George and, God, what a good friend.
That's a great haircut, George.
What, you know what, dude? In a war, you and I feel like you would save me.
Of course you would.
Like, I get shot in the ass. Right? George, right? And I feel like you would go through all the napalm and the bullets that you would carry me, and then you get hit in the leg, and you would still do a drag. You know what I mean? You're like that kind of guy. Appreciate it.
Would you reciprocate?
What?
Would you do the same?
No. Because I just knew I know I wouldn't be able to carry him.
Ah.
He's just a bigger guy. I just know my body.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd probably just do like, you know, I'd be the priest. I put that little collar on and I just do this. And I go, dear Lord Jesus Christ, please bring this man to, I don't know.
Home safely.
To the heaven. I had a Jersey Mike sandwich and half of it just came out. We got, what's the matter?
It's okay.
What?
It's okay.
Fuck you. I love you.
It's okay.
So we got this guy trying to get me in your movie, huh?
Yeah, my fiance's movie.
Your fiance's movie. Tell her I'll do the next project.
Okay.
I've just been really busy doing network shit.
Dr. K.
And then we got my beautiful girlfriend, Kalila Kyun. But we have a very special guest. So, you know, over the years of Bobby Lee being an entertainer, right, I've sometimes done, you know what I mean, some theatrical things, you know. I was in the movie The Dictator, Harold and Kumar movies. Back in my life, I did one in Curb Your Enthusiasm, this and that. You know, I've done all kinds of different things. You know, I've done game shows, as you know, Game On, right, CBS.
Mm. Best dunk of all time.
Best dunk of all time.
Is what they're saying. The kids are saying.
Yeah, so, but I've never done a project, so... Don't say anything yet, but
I feel like I'm only here for for season two.
I want to introduce you. Okay, first I'll do it. I'll introduce you first, and then I'll get into my thing. All right. So, what we have now is the showrunner, right, and the creator of the show Reservation Dogs on FX/Hulu, Sterling Harjo. Give him a round.
Thank you.
So, Sterling, welcome to this program.
Thank you. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. You seem nervous.
I'm not.
All right.
I mean, I did just peel the lid. I was peeling things.
I am nervous.
I'm nervous about the show.
I'm nervous. Now you made me nervous.
But I'm a fan, though. Like, you know, whenever when Bobby auditioned, or wait, you didn't audition. I just met you. Sorry.
Ooh.
He didn't audition.
Well, let's
they
go.
They asked me to audition you, and I was like, no, he's a fucking king.
Oh, ooh la la.
So we can't have him audition. I wrote it for him.
I know, but can I just tell you the way it went down?
Yeah, yeah.
I did have an audition.
You did?
Yeah, they sent me the slides for Dr. Kang.
No.
Yes, it did.
I didn't see anything.
I know you didn't, but yeah. I did get an audition. I said, I don't want to audition.
Oh, that. Okay. Yeah.
Right? Not because I was too above the project. It's just that.
But you were too
in
above
my
the
head.
Project.
In my head, I'm like, I'm not going to get it.
Yeah.
That's always everything that I get, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, but I'm a fan, so I've heard this.
I didn't know that.
I've heard this spiel, and I knew. And so I knew how he felt, and so I was kind of juggling network, and also I knew Bobby wouldn't want to audition because I've heard him say, like, why don't I just get an offer? You know, things like that.
Yeah.
And so in my mind, I'm like, fuck, like, they want him to audition. He's going to say no because he doesn't think. We want him. And he was literally the only one I was asking.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, I got a bunch of auditions.
Yeah. Of other Dr. King.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
ooh.
They were probably people you know.
And they're probably good. They're probably good.
Yeah, good. But like everyone was like, for me, not everyone, there were some great ones, but like for me, I wanted Bobby Lee disheveled Dr. Kang. You know what I mean? Like I wanted you to bring the edge to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone was bringing kind of, I'm a Korean doctor to it. You know what I mean? Like I wanted it to be this, like a backstory without having to explain a backstory. You know, this idea of like you, like what the fuck did this guy go through to land, to land this job? You know,
oh,
like,
right, right.
Like the most unsought out job for a Korean doctor, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was just getting a lot of kind of straight up doctors, you know, and that's not what the role was.
Right.
Yeah. But then he wouldn't audition, so I had a
no,
stack.
No, it's not that. It wasn't because... Shut the fuck up. It wasn't fucking because it was like... it's obviously...
Tell him the truth.
It's dumb on my part, and it's dumb on... I don't want to say her name.
Mm-hmm. Your manager.
Sorry.
Whoops. People just Google it.
But basically, it's like... they know the way that... what, you're putting the earphones on?
Yeah, I just kind of want to... I feel like I'm not nervous anymore.
Yeah, yeah, I'll get it.
All right, all right.
All right, so...
Yeah, okay, cool.
So this is how it went down. The way my manager tells me there's an audition is she goes as simplistic as possible. She'll go, Dr. FX.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Oh, shit. Oh, wow.
That's the job, right? Without telling me who's doing it, what it is, you know what I mean? And when you read that, you go, no. You know what I mean? I was
already caught wind of the trades, and I knew that Reservation Dogs was going to get made. So when I overheard through the phone her saying Oklahoma, I was like, which project is this? And then
I asked her, I go, wait, who's doing it?
Yeah.
You overheard her on the phone?
On the phone.
Yeah, she was next to me. And she goes, Taika Tukawiki. And I go, is it Taika Waititi? And she goes, yeah, that's it. And then when you said that, Kalana goes, you have to do it, right?
I was like, are you fucking crazy?
Yeah, you have to do it. But then I go, Abby goes, calls me back and she goes,
you just said her name.
Okay. Sterling Harjo wants to talk to you. That's how we zoomed.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we
between that was me watching all of these auditions because they were like, he won't audition, we can't do it. And so I'm in my own turmoil going like, fuck. Like I'd been talking in the writer's room even, I was saying this, I wrote this for him. Like this is going to be his role. And I had to go through the motions of like, oh no, we're going to see all these actors because Bobby won't audition. It's offer only. And so I had to go through all these fucking auditions thinking like, fuck, I got to pick somebody.
Yeah.
And then in the end, I was just like, I really want Bobby Lee though, you know?
Yeah.
And to FX's credit and everyone's credit, they were just like, okay.
Wow.
Cool. You saw everything. Cool.
So also, can I just say this? I was also on my way to go to Hungary for 2 months. Mm-hmm. And so to do Borderlands. And in my head, I'm like, I just have a lot on my plate. It had nothing to do with if my manager had said, it's Taika Waititi, you know, it's FX. I would have been like, yeah, I'll read, right? But I didn't have that information, just to let you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once I saw your fat face on the fucking Zoom, right? Yep.
That's what it was.
Yeah. Handsome fat face.
Get it right.
Excuse me. I missed an adjective, right? You're handsome, glorious, glorious, fat face.
And cute, yeah.
Right, and cute, right?
Yeah, cute.
But as soon as I saw your face, I'm like, oh, because when I think of showrunners, I think of, I mean, I'm going to just throw out a guy like Dick Blasucci, who was the Mad TV showrunner.
Yeah.
Mm. Like an older, shirt-talking, kind of a business-looking guy. You know what I mean? Mm. And as soon as I saw you, I'm like, oh, that guy looks like, you know what I mean?
Well, the first thing I said to him was Slep King.
Right. As soon as
just because I wanted him to know that I was a fan.
He did that, I was like, oh, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
This is going to be, you know.
Yeah.
So then I said yes to do it. And I have to say that, number one, congratulations. What a great show.
Thank you.
How original. Mm-hmm. And but number two, it's like I've never gotten, and I told you this outside, out of all the things I've ever gotten in my career, this is the most compliments I've ever gotten. I'll tell you how crazy it's gotten. Mm. So my neighbor.
We hate him.
We hate him.
Right? We've been beefing with him for two years,
right? Shut your dogs up. You know what I mean?
Like he honestly, he sticks his head through our bushes. Like, you see green, 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 and then a white face. And then green, green, green. And he tells us to, like, put our dogs back in because they're barking too much.
Or he'll go, "Hey, may I make a suggestion to you, young man?" And I go, "What is it?" "Well, why don't you get a dog trainer?" You know what I mean? Or whatever, right? So I avoid him. So yesterday, was it yesterday? I was out smoking a cigarette. And hear the bushes, like, you know what I mean? Doing as it. If there's like, a, you know what I mean? A velociraptor in Jurassic Park. You know how the bushes shake? That's what it was like, right? And he sticks his head out. And I go, "Oh, God. I haven't seen this motherfucker in 8 months. Right? I've been avoiding this guy. I go, "Hey, sorry, I was just smoking." Right?
Why are you saying sorry in your own property?
Sorry, I don't know, my house.
I don't I never smoked.
Is it a
there.
White man?
Yeah, white guy.
Oh, yeah, that's never smoked. Sorry. Yeah,
right. Because I've seen all the Karen videos. I don't know what happens. So I'm smoking so I'm smoking the cigarette, and he go, I go, "I'm sorry, I just smoked." He goes, "Oh, no, I want to say, fine acting, young man, on that Hulu show, Reservation Dogs." And I go, "Really? Thanks." He goes, "No, I mean, you got skill."
Wow.
And he walked right in the house.
So you've patched up
our fucking
neighbor.
Oh, that's what
I think.
Doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bringing people together.
So I've gotten more compliments.
Fixing white people.
Then
he dips his head back out. And he's like, "Fucking take your dog's training."
I want to talk about, so I go to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Right? And remember the first rehearsal? The first rehearsal.
Oh, yeah. You were like nervous.
I was
like,
so nervous.
I was like, "Wait, what did I do?"
Oh, what?
Seriously, because like, the whole crew's there. Yeah,
the whole crew's
there. And I'm like, "Wait a minute. What just happened?" Bobby's like, "I think you said it." Like, it was like if you speed someone up.
Yeah.
Like times 10,000.
Yeah. That's what it was. That's what it was. And I stopped after the rehearsal. Are you nervous?
I'm nervous for, I don't know why.
Why are you nervous? Crazy.
Did you do table read?
Was it table read? Literally, it was like on, it was right before the blocking when you read.
Oh my God.
When you're supposed to say the lines.
Shoot, you're shooting.
All you got to do is go say the lines, you know? And like,
Oh, fuck. All right, man. All right. Yeah. So what happened was I knew I was nervous, right? And I knew that once we shoot, I'm not going to do it that way. You know what I mean? I just needed to get it out.
Yeah.
And but I could see, I could feel the tension because it's a small space, right?
It's a super small. It was like
small space. Yeah. And there's like 80 people in the small space. I'm exaggerating, obviously. Yeah. Which is, I know people sometimes take things literally, right, on the show. So
very small space.
Yeah, it's a small space. And there was probably, let's be honest, 12 people.
No, it was 25, 30.
All right, let's say 80.
You say 80.
Let's go back to
80. 85.
So it's packed, and I could feel after I did the rehearsal, like people just kind of, you know, like, you know, the camera guys doing the doing the camera thing. The sound guys, you know what I mean, trying to feel, you know what I mean. Like people are doing things. Shut the fuck up. You know, and Sterling kind of just peeking, his sweat's coming up. And I looked at him and I go, "I got it. Don't worry about it."
Yeah, he did.
Didn't I say that?
You did.
I got this.
I'm not going to do that.
I'm not going to do it.
Is there a break in between that and the final?
Yeah, it's like, all right, we're about to do a take now.
Because everybody, I remember him calling me, and we were practicing how to say retina. Like, babe, retina.
Right. So, but then once I got the first takedown, I was like, fine. You know what I mean? But it was...
Do you know what scene that was? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. It was the one where I was going, when I come out and I say, your son, you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
Bear, you know, big bear, whatever.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And then... me going, you know, me the hunting, right? Was that scene?
Yeah, it was that scene. Hunting.
It was that scene, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
No, the whole crew kind of was like, you could just feel like everyone go, "Is that how he's going to do it?" Yeah, and then like the first thing he did, like, it was like before anyone, he just like looked at me, he's like, "I'm going to do it much better than that," or whatever we did. Yeah.
But I did that when I was just in, I was just in Hawaii doing an episode of Magnum. One of the takes was just like that, where it was just like, I just need to get it out, and then I knew that Gene was there, and Gene goes, "Don't worry about it. I already know, right?" Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's just, I don't know why, I just need to hear it out of my mouth in the environment.
Yeah.
And then it makes everything focused for me, and then I can do it. But anyway.
I'm the same way, though, when we're shooting a scene, you know, it's never as good as it's going to be when you're blocking it. And it's just like, or if I'm working with a non-actor that is not experienced, I'll have them do it just to do it. And then once you get that out, they're fine after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you just have to get it, the first one out and you go, you know? But like, I was never worried.
I know you weren't.
Yeah.
No one's worried. I'm just saying that. Do you think it would be because I have some other jobs that I'm doing. Mm. And do you think, and I always get nervous the very first one.
Yeah.
And after I do, like, next time I do Reservation Dogs, you said
season
you would.
Season two, yeah, you're coming
back.
Would.
Yeah. But you fucking said you would. So, promise me. Do you think that if I do a new job and I'm rehearsing, that I should throw that out there? Like, listen, I just needed to get it out. It's not the way I'm, or do I just do it? I mean, I don't know what to do in that situation.
Honestly, I think people that don't even give it your all. Just say the words. Get it out. And then it's like, you don't have to worry about acting. It's just like, they just want to hear how it's going to be sound, how it's going to sound, where you're going to be. You don't have to, you put like 20% on it and then you move on, you know?
That's it.
Yeah.
Because in my head, I'm like, it has to be perfect.
Yeah, no.
And then when I think that, because it's so new in my head, what are you looking at, babe? Why are you looking at me like
she's
that?
Retina.
Are you nervous?
Retina.
Retina.
Yeah,
retina.
Like I have secondhand nerves because, oh God, I'm just so glad you didn't get that pirate show because I know how nervous you were about doing the pirate accent.
I know.
And you would have collapsed on set.
They asked me to audition for that show.
The pirate show? Yeah, yeah. And you know, but I know, number one, here's a fact.
Yeah.
I've never been fired from a job, ever, right? And I've always gotten it, right? It's just the way to get there for me is a little different than other people.
Mm-hmm.
I see dudes that are just like, they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, wow, I'm happy for them.
But you did so good in the show. Like, you know, like,
I killed it.
I mean, because there's a thing, like, that character is based on a real people, you know, like when I went to a clinic growing up, the doctor there was a Filipino and he had a family. This guy had a family and stuff, but like, you're always like, how the fuck did they end up here in rural Oklahoma?
Yeah.
With a bunch of Indians just surrounded. And they kind of like, you know, they adapt to the environment and this is, and the people and everything.
Yeah.
And so it was like totally based on a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's also heightened and whatever. But, like, you know, there was, I feel like you were a little nervous. You're like, did I do an okay job? And I was like, yeah, man, it was great. It was so, you just came in and knocked it out.
Yeah.
It was very fast, too, right? It was very fast.
But it's not that, it's your notes were clear. Once you said your notes, I was like, I don't know if people want, like, to listen to this kind of stuff. Do you think people
Why
do?
Not?
It? Yeah. They do, yeah.
Yeah, who cares?
But the notes were very clear. It was like, once you go, your only note, what was your only note? Do you remember?
Slow down.
No.
Well, I forget.
Just play it as tired as you can.
Oh, that's what I said. Yes.
Yeah.
Slow it down. Play it tired. Yeah. Just be
just
tired.
Play it tired and just. And I go, oh, I understand this guy.
Yeah.
Once he said that, I was like, I understand how to do it.
Yeah, because he's like fucking fed up, right?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, and I gotta say this too, is we went to your premiere, okay, and ask anybody, I've never seen myself in a premiere. I've always gone to the premiere and left. I can't watch myself.
Yeah.
Right? This is the first premiere where I forced myself. Right?
Why?
Because I looked at Kalila, we're sitting there, because I only thought you were going to only air the first episode,
mm-hmm.
and I knew I wasn't in the first episode. Mm-hmm. So I was just sitting there watching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in this one. So I'm just watching it. Wow, that's cool. Cool choice.
Well, like, wait, cool episode choice, Sterling.
I like the vibe. Oh, the energy. I get it, right? So it's over, and I'm standing up. Everyone clapped, standing up. I'm like, okay, I guess we're leaving. And then all of a sudden, they go into another one, and I know I'm in that one. And I sit down. And I go, oh, no. Right?
Oh,
remember I said to you?
Yeah.
And I turned to you, and I go, and you
like,
got
stay the fuck
you,
over
yeah,
there.
You got mad at me.
Yeah.
It's like, don't embarrass me. Sit the fuck down.
Yes. That's what she kept saying.
And you felt good, though, right? At the end? I mean.
No, after the first scene, I felt great.
Yeah.
Second scene, but then I left to go to the bathroom.
In the middle of your episode.
In the middle of the episode, right. And then.
Wait, what?
Yeah. And then I thought I took a long time, but then it's like I came back and I had two more scenes.
Oh, yeah.
So I just sat by the security guard, stood there and watched it and forced myself. And I went, wow, it's pretty good. You know what I mean?
There.
Because it got, you know what I care about is laughs.
Yeah.
And it got laughs, you know what I mean, in the thing. And what also helped me was the president of FX, is that the big, the white guy with the white hair?
He's not the president.
What is he?
Head of marketing. But the president was there too. I don't know who you're talking about. They're both white.
They're all white.
Yeah, well, a couple of those guys.
Yeah.
I think they were, one of them was the president.
Okay, yeah, one of them.
He came up to me and goes, before... the thing started. And he goes, oh, you're the doctor. Oh, great job, yeah. man. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, those guys were like, so nice to me.
Yeah, man. Everyone was like, it was gratifying for me.
Yeah.
Because I cast Bobby and I pushed for it. And everyone was so happy. Like, I never heard a complaint. Everyone was very happy with Bobby's.
I don't want to talk about myself anymore.
No. But I also have like, but I'm a big fan of this show.
I know you are.
So like, I feel like I've been through the journeys of like, you know, like I'm just rooting from the side in Oklahoma and hearing the auditions and, you know, I hear about, and then I listen to Bad Friends. It's like the fucking commercial stories and all this shit. And so to be able to cast him in a show. And, you know, I'm a fan of comedy. So I would go to the Comedy Store when I would come to L.A. I didn't, never lived here, but I would go to the Comedy Store. You know, and that's where I first heard Kirk Fox, who's also in the show.
Yeah.
Kirk's and amazing.
He's amazing.
He's fucking great. And, like, no one can deliver a weird line like him, quite like him.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, and I would see him, and his delivery is so different. And so he auditioned. He just had a taped audition that came in, and I cast him. And, you know, I saw Bill Burr a time or two, and all these people that ended up in the show.
Yeah.
Can't Bill Burr do, like, a perfect Oki accent?
He did a great Oki accent. I can't believe how good it was. Wow. He called me beforehand, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to. He's like, can I try something out on you? I was like, yeah. And he's like Boston guy. He was doing an Oki accent to him. I was like, perfect. That sounds fucking perfect.
He told me, Bill goes, I saw him at the store after he got back, and he goes, man, that was the funnest I've had on set. And I go, yeah, how cool are they? He's like, that was so fun. That was amazing.
Yeah, he said that on his podcast. Also, I had so many people writing me. I didn't hear your podcast where you talked about it until later, but everyone started writing me and was like, Bobby Lee's talking about you on Tiger Belly or whatever. And so I went and listened, and if I would have known you were like writing fucking limes around town, I would have like hung out with you.
What do you mean riding lines?
The scooters.
The scooters.
Oh, yeah. It was so fun.
I thought he was like seriously like reading his lines.
No.
Every single phone call was of him FaceTiming me while he was on his way to a steakhouse.
Dude,
on a line.
The best steakhouse.
Yeah, it's the Bull in the Alley.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that delicious. Fucking place.
Yeah.
If you're ever in Tulsa, you got to go to the Bull in the Alley.
And it's like, you know, if I would have known he was fucking, I would have been cruising with him. I thought like,
well, next time, now we know each other.
I'm going to leave this like method actor alone.
What are you talking about?
He's like reading his lines, probably wearing his,
I never read
like,
them.
Watching doctors fucking shows or whatever.
No.
Just liming around fucking talking to locals.
It was so fun.
So many people I heard later go like, yeah, Bobby Lee was just writing a
I was zipping around town and I just found how free it was. Yes. Because you have to understand, because I was in quarantine, obviously we all were for so long, COVID and all this.
Oh, that was your first real trip.
It was my first real, I mean, I had been to Hawaii a couple of times, but it's like, you know what I mean? That was very, that was on lockdown and this and that.
It was the first restaurant you ate at.
That was great. Yeah. And then they had the little things, plastic things.
Yeah.
I want to go into now, that was
the Jersey Mike's.
Jersey Mike's.
Mm.
Sorry, babe.
It's okay.
Ooh, that one had the fucking vinegar.
Some fucking
Mike's way, baby.
There was fire in that one.
Okay, I'm ready.
Have some agua.
I'm fine. You know what? I'm fine. So, what are you looking at?
I want you to choke.
You don't want me to?
You look like you're choking.
I'm fine.
Okay.
So how did the show go about? Like, let me just see if I got this straight.
Yeah.
You're with... Okay, you met Taika Waititi. Mm-hmm. Let me see. 20 years ago?
Yeah.
For Sundance?
Yeah, we were at the Sundance Labs. Or Labs. The Sundance Film Festival together.
And they had some sort of like, you know, a group of native writers and producers.
We were all showing films. We all had short films at the Sundance Film Festival. And, you know, like anything, like comedy or whatever, or like the Asian community, the Korean community, once you kind of have your people. And,
right.
And we had like this little subgroup of independent filmmakers that kind of gravitated towards each other, and it was indigenous filmmakers from across the world.
Amazing.
And Tyke and I hit it off. You know, I think the first time when we first met, we didn't like each other very much. I thought he was an asshole, and I was from fucking the country, and I'm here in LA, just like, what's going on? You know, like I remember we were at a party in the hills at some director's place, and I had a 18 minute long rough cut of a short film. And I decided that it's a good idea. I was drunk, and I decided it was a good idea to stop the party.
No.
Swear to God. I get chills when I think
about this. I'm embarrassed for you.
I get chills. Oh. And I get chills when I think about this.
You never do that, by
It was like up in these hills somewhere.
How embarrassing.
And I was like, fucking, I said, hey, can I show my short film? A rough cut.
A rough cut.
This guy had made like A Knight's Tale or some shit. Like, they weren't like, these were people that actually did shit. And like, they were like, yeah, you want to show a rough cut? I was like, yeah, I got a DVD. And I pull out a fucking DVD and it was 18 minutes long. This film ended up being 12 minutes by the end.
Oh, right.
That's how much I bullshit I cut out of it.
Yeah.
So I have an 18 minute cut. They don't
what
have
gave you the balls.
I don't know. Naive. I don't know. I was drunk. And they didn't even have the right cords hooked up. So he had to go fucking find the cords, stop the party, find the cords, turn the music off, rewire all his shit to play my DVD. And I'm just sitting there with my drinks. It was like, like looking at everyone's face while they sit there for 18 minutes. Tyke is over there just like, what a fucking psychopath. Like,
wow.
And like, I made people sit through that for 18 minutes. And then I lost my car in the hills that night. I remember it was, I had somebody drove me around till 4 a.m. trying to find it. I woke up, it was like the best first LA trip. I woke up the next day in a seated position with like In-N-Out wrappers around me, just fucked. Like LA had like spit me out.
Wow.
Just had spit me out.
Did you get any feedback about your
rough cut? Dude, they all were just nice. But in hindsight, I know
that
they didn't like it. And that was the most embarrassing thing that I could have done.
That's like if I'm at a party with like a bunch of comics and an open micer's there. And the open micer stops.
I was an open micer.
Hey guys, I have a new 10 minutes. God, right? Yes. And we're all like, we're partying, man. He's like, nah. So, get me a mic.
Yeah.
Get me a mic.
Scrambling.
So embarrassing.
Get me a mic. Get me some, you know what I mean?
I'm sweating.
A speaker, right? Yeah. And then him setting it up, and we're all standing there with our drinks, you know what I mean? And he does 10 minutes of like, just okay shit, right? But we're just like, and then when he leaves, that's all we talk about.
Yeah.
That piece of shit.
That is exactly
you were the open micer.
You're the open micer. Piece of shit. For sure. Well, and so Tyke obviously didn't want to be friends with me.
Oh,
and it took a while, and then we were at Sundance together, and then we became friends.
Uh-huh.
And really just, I traveled with him through New Zealand. We just became really good friends. We never tried to, like, work. I watched his star rise, right? He got Thor, all of this stuff. But I never, like, tried to get anything from him. We were just friends.
I wanted to say Thor Ragnarok. I remember watching the first two Thors. Mm. The first two Thors were terrible.
Yeah.
Right? And then I reluctantly went to see it at the theater with my brother, Steve.
Yeah.
My brother was like, I don't want to watch that, right? And when we saw Thor Ragnarok, I don't think Taika's listening, but...
No, he won't be.
He won't be. I know he won't
They're
be.
They're friends.
But I want to say that...
nothing.
I just, that's because we had seen his other movies, right? But it's like, especially you, big Taika
fan. What's my favorite movie of all time?
The one with that was the 80s one.
Boy,
yeah, that's not the one, right?
It's a good
one. Yeah, it's a good one. So, anyway, it was what a great movie. But so you I forgot what I was gonna say, babe. But so
Ragnarok.
Yeah, Ragnarok was great.
Yeah,
but I have to let me get to back to the thing. All right, so you guys, how did this come about, though? You guys. Reservation Dogs.
Yeah, so we...
I thought he
was following up. I thought he had another sentence. And so we were there, you know, we were hanging out at his house. I just started working in TV. I was an independent filmmaker. I was literally like, how am I going to do this shit? I would come out to LA and they would be like, yeah, native shit doesn't sell. Like, you know, do you got anything else? Like with a white lead? Maybe there's a white lead and there's a bunch of Indians around him and there's like, you know, it's like Wind River, you know, where they're coming in to save the Indians. Like, could you do something like that?
Oh,
and it's like, man, like,
God.
And so I was literally about to quit. I was about to start a nonprofit. You know, I was just like, fucking give it up. And I got a TV job. And then so I came out here for some meetings, was hanging out with Tyka. And he was like, hey, I have an overall deal. We were like hanging out at his house, having a tequila. And he was like, I have an overall deal at FX. If you have anything, like, let's fucking pitch it to him. And so I was like, fuck, let's do it. And we had read each other's scripts over the years and gave each other feedback. So we had similar styles and also like new scripts that had never been made. And we both had scripts about kids. And so we just kind of came up with the idea that night. And, you know, I wrote it down, sent it to him a couple days later. And I thought, oh, he's busy. I'll hear from him in like a year.
Yeah.
Like 3 days later, my agents called me and they're like, what the fuck is Reservation Dogs? And I'm like, what are you talking about? that you just got an offer for a pilot.
Wow.
And I was like, holy fuck, like that's this Taika thing. And then I get a call from him and he's like, I just sold Reservation Dogs.
Wow.
And I was like, how? And he was like, a producer from What We Do in the Shadows. He told that Garrett Bosch about it. Garrett called FX and was like, y'all should buy this. And they were like, okay, yeah, this is cool. Like I've never, because they had never heard anything about natives that was fun. And also I've had way worse experiences than that. It's very rare, but like they had never heard anything about natives that was funny. And so they were in, and then we wrote the pilot, and then the pandemic hit, and you know, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it happened fast.
So that's how much power Taika has.
Fucking huge power.
Yeah, he basically, because at the premiere, you guys said that he called FX because you have 45 minutes. Is that true? You guys have 45 minutes to make a decision?
Someone said that, yes.
Who said that?
No, Taika, I don't know who said that, but it was either Taika or Garrett Bosch said that to FX.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody said, you have 45 minutes to make a decision or it's going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
To have that kind of balls,
oh, yeah,
and that kind of power, I wish one day.
Me too.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's also like he didn't have to do that. You know, like I mean, I mean, as you know, like you try to get these projects out and it's like you don't know if Hollywood's going to want to do anything, you know, and it's like for Taika, it's like a fucking gift to me that he gave me, you know, and to be able to like, because everyone has thought that Indians are just fucking serious.
Yeah.
And just getting killed in front of teepees. And like, yeah, to be able to just be like, nah, man, we're funny. Like our communities are so funny. And that's
so
all
funny.
And that's all we do is laugh, you know. But like, I mean, as you could tell, I'm super funny. But yeah, like.
We got it.
We got it. We got it.
Like, you know, so it's like to be able to do that, it was just like a big gift of that Taika gave me, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like I should name my next child after him.
Yeah, but you know, I want to disagree with you. Mm. I don't think that. I think that.
Also, he left and I never saw him again after we settled.
Oh, really? Oh,
he let me do the rest of the work.
Oh, yeah. But I think that. You did the work to get into that position. Nobody's going to go. Yeah.
Someone's going to champion someone.
Champion a guy just merit. Out of nowhere, right?
For sure. Yeah.
It's like, no, this guy, it's like, you know, one time I got a call from Jordan Peele. Mm. This is when in the after Get Out and all that stuff. Yeah. And he goes, you know, he threw me a bone. He goes, hey, I'm doing a commercial, right? Obviously, you don't have the audition. I want you in it. It's for me and Chelsea's wedding. And we'll pay you the most money I've ever gotten in anything I've ever done. Mm. It was like 6 figures.
Mm.
Just one day of work, right? And the next thing you know, I'm on set, I'm doing it. My point is that like, you know, guys that, what's great about this business is guys that you're friends with that blow up and know the work that you've done and the dedication and the years of struggle and this and that. You know, the good guys that blow up, right, will bring their friends up with them. You know what I mean? Like, I hope in one day I'm able to do that for somebody.
Yeah.
Well, just to pull somebody up. You know what I mean? And that's what Taika did, but it's not, you deserve everything that you've gotten.
Yeah, and it's like with the show, I mean, my friends directed every episode. My friends wrote every episode. So it was like being able to like pay that forward and bring up, it was all native writers.
Yeah, that was, all was, native was like all the writers were native and they were not just native. They were like, cool. Like,
I mean, you're going to say like, they were Navajo.
No. Okay. No, but they were just like, you know, we're all essentially the same. We're all Americans, you know what I mean? And we all dress the same. Yeah. We're all into the same things. It's like, at the end of the day, it's like, there's just cool kids that would be Tiger Belly fans or Bad Friends fans or, you know what I mean, Trash Tuesday fans. I mean, they're just people that, you know what I mean? But it was just like, really cool that the director was native, everyone was native, you know what I mean? And the crew, too, the cameramen they all did Love, Judd Apatow's Love, right? And so that's also what made me comfortable is I know, they know me, you know what I mean? I knew them in that way, too, because they had, so,
you know, the writer's room, we watched what stand-up was available, because you don't have.
I don't have any, yeah.
Yeah, but we watched what was available.
Yeah, yeah.
What? Yeah. No, yeah, we didn't have much, just early.
Yeah, yeah.
Spiky hair and like
yeah.
We watched those, and then you know we would watch clips from shows that you were on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
why?
Because we were writing this character.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it was like, you know, I just wanted them to know who you were if they didn't know you. You know?
Oh, right,
so,
right.
Because
right.
It was all Zoom, so we would kind of show videos, and clips and stuff, just to kind of inspire us or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I have that part on lockdown. I know who he is, all right?
You have what?
I have Dr. King on lockdown.
Oh, yeah, no, he's coming back. Like, I have so many ideas for Dr. King.
Yeah, yeah.
I want him to, I said I wanted to do a sex scene with Dr. King.
Speaking of sex
awkward
scene.
One.
Yeah. Yeah, what?
Oh.
There was a sex scene today at the parking lot of the Rose Bowl.
What?
And it involved me.
This is the story.
The story. It is.
You know what? That was good.
It was a good That was a good because I caught on to it.
But yeah, we didn't know it first.
I can't tell the story.
Out of nowhere, speaking of sex, is an obvious babe.
All right, let's move on.
Try to incorporate it in a different way, okay? But you're telling the story.
I'm interested.
All right, tell the story.
I'm interested in it.
No, because it's not. It's that the hype is not going to match the story.
It doesn't matter. You're doing it, and you're going to commit to it. So anyway, let's.
Guys' advice.
All right, so sex scene. Sex scene?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I want him to be in a sex scene.
My dream. You know who I want him to be in a sex scene with?
Who?
Dave Bautista.
Oh, shit.
Okay. No, good. What?
Is Dave Bautista native? Is he something?
He's Filipino. Filipino. Oh, and when I, you know, that show that you really did an amazing job, really do, like, giving me a good pep talk, by the way, before I pitched it.
It
worked in the sense that I was a little arrogant.
You're too arrogant? I fucked her up?
No.
Oh, shit.
No, everyone that was involved with that pitch, saying it was the best pitch they've ever heard.
I was really, like, emotionally crumbling. And when you were like, they need you, you don't need them. Yeah. I was like, all right, I'm going to care. That made the world of difference.
We have to think that way, you know? Because, I mean, I think that this business was built, you know? I mean, it's like, when I first came out here, I didn't feel like I belonged in any room.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I had to, and it was just like the way I grew up. Like, if you're native, you're like, be humble. Don't fucking talk too much. Listen to people. You'll learn. Don't try to own a room. And so naturally, as a native, I don't think that we pitch well. We don't go into a room and, yeah, man, fuck, yeah. You know, it looks like this, like fade in. You know, like, we don't do that. You know, it's like, it doesn't come that natural. Yeah. And so, but I had to really, it took years of me going, oh, and then when the industry changed, when all of a sudden diversity was cool, I realized, like, oh, they need us.
Mm.
Like, they need us now.
Mm.
And it really took all of that for me to have the confidence to go in and just be like, you know, take it or leave it. Like, what do you, you know, like, you want this or what? Obviously, you don't want to be too much of a dickhead, but like.
Yeah.
I was having it.
But you saved my life, especially
did,
that day. Because you said that literally hours before I went in.
Yeah.
And I was like a mess before that. And I was like, okay, they need you, Clem. They need you.
They do, but the whole business is built on them not letting you know that they need you.
Right.
They so make weird. You think that you need them. You know, like that's the whole business.
And I was talking to Amy Hill when I was in Hawaii. And Amy was in Margaret Cho's show.
I love Amy.
Back in the day,
legend.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just her and I are having dinner at. That not Pig and the Lady, but
Piggy Smalls.
And we're eating fried chicken at Piggy Smalls. And I asked her, I go, I mean, what is it like now? Because you were there since the 80s, 90s, you know, and she goes, it's just easier. It's unbelievable how easier it is. And it's like, even in my own experience, I don't want to get emotional, but for the last 20 years, I literally walked around life going, you know, please, okay. Right? Not knowing, like, I would doubt my own skill level. Like, I always deep down inside know that I deserve more than I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
It's that feeling that, like, I know my skill set. I'm not Daniel Day-Lewis, but I know that in terms of comedy and what I bring to the table, my face.
Great left foot, though.
Babe.
Man, you killed the momentum. That beautiful.
Yeah. But, you know, did you see some sex at the Rose Bowl? You want to play games? Go ahead. Tell the story, babe.
Yeah.
Rose Bowl. Rose Bowl. Rose Bowl. Rose Bowl. Rose Bowl.
It's nothing. It was so dumb. I didn't even want to say it on the podcast. I wanted to say it before, but I went swimming at the Rose Bowl, and because of COVID, they don't allow you to change out of your clothes in the bathroom.
Oh.
So after my swim, I go to my car, I lift the trunk, and I'm doing a deck change. I'm getting into my dry clothes. I wasn't very aware of my surroundings. I'm not really someone that really cares about nudity.
Yeah.
So I accidentally, my towel dropped, and when I looked ahead, there was a man in his, there was a man just standing there, and he looked right at my pussy, like right,
how do you
like
know
this.
Your pussy though.
But then the weirdest thing happened. His reaction was really
horrified. Genuine.
No, like genuinely artistic.
Artistic.
He went into his car. He pulled out a flute and he started playing the flute in the parking lot.
To your pussy? Trying to fuck your girlfriend.
To your pussy.
It was like an old man. He looked right at my pussy. Like, pulled out
a snake charmer.
Like, yeah, he was trying to hypnotize you.
You see the clit like moving up.
This worked on the show.
Or he plays and the dick starts going.
His own dick.
Why was he doing that?
Yeah, yeah.
I have no idea. So I don't know.
Did he like keep his eyes locked on you? Grab the
yes, he did the whole time, and then so my sister was there.
Wait, wait, wait! Stop! Yeah. Right,
it's crazy.
You drop, right?
Drop, and I don't care. I'm just like
that's
whatever.
Fine.
Yeah.
He pulls out his flute.
He looks first.
Yeah. He looks right.
Pauses.
Pauses. Goes to his fucking car.
Yeah, reaches for his flute.
Yeah, but the flute isn't just on the fucking passenger seat.
He has to
it's in the casing.
It. He has to bend,
right.
Yeah.
So he has to connect.
Pussy flute on.
Oh, yes. Pussy, yeah. Yes, pussy flute on lockdown.
It's different.
It's different. All right, so he just grabs his passenger seat on lockdown, right? And he's so.
And then
and
I.
You still have your pussy out?
No, I don't have my pussy out.
Why is it still
she's
out?
She's like, dude.
She's just. Yeah. She's just like, yeah. What are you doing?
She's like, get the flute out. Get the flute out. Get the flute out.
Honestly, but he leaned on his car this way he was playing it and he was looking at me like this, like,
dude, that is insane.
That's insane.
That sounds like.
As Juliana.
Oh, really?
Ask my sister.
Oh, wow.
That sounds like the rooster on that old Robin Hood where he's like playing. Like, how does that.
Yeah. How does that.
That sounds like a Disney movie.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah, so that's what happened to me today.
And so you pull your stuff out, and did you?
And he leans on the car and plays.
Yeah, and he's looking, like giving me direct eye contact.
Can I ask you another question?
I wish I could meet him.
Yeah, I want to meet him. But can I ask you another question?
Ask
right?
Him what was going on.
I didn't feel violated, by the way.
Were you rude? Like after he was done playing, did you give him an applause break?
I threw him a five. No, babe, I bent over, gave him a full show. Yeah. From the back.
He's like, the flute stuck it in your fucking.
And then I played with his skin flutes.
If you would have set that story up and said, finish it, I would have never thought that he would have grabbed a flute, played a flute to you.
Yeah, I'm
going to say there are a lot of crazy things that happened in my life, but that's a memory I'll keep in my heart forever because I didn't feel violated either. I was just confused. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
You know, we're having a concert. You know?
Yeah.
Just a flute player.
I don't know how I feel about that. I feel happy but sad too.
I mean, maybe he was already going to play the flute.
Yeah.
And then you're pushing.
That's a good point. Yeah, yeah, what if that's his thing?
At a swimming pool parking lot.
The timing was
fun. That's his spot. What if that's his spot at
he does that.
At noon?
At 2 o'clock.
Every Tuesday, Monday, he plays the flute there. You just happen to be, your vagina was.
You're not special.
He's at home right now.
Not special, baby.
He's at home like, she thinks that I was playing to her. Yeah.
Hey, guys.
So now you have another thing. I don't know if we should announce it, but you have another big movie or thing.
It's been announced. Res Ball.
Oh, yeah.
So what is that?
It's a movie that I wrote with my friend Sydney Freeland that LeBron James's company partnered with us to make it. And we're making it at Netflix.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you meet LeBron?
He's probably not even read the script. You know, like,
yeah,
his people probably read it or whatever.
Yeah,
you know, I haven't met him yet. I hope so.
It's funny with those production companies. They say it's like, I had this one thing 7 months ago. It's Ben Stiller's production company, right? And they want to talk to you about this movie.
Yeah.
Right? So you think you're going to talk to Ben Stiller, right? And it's just like 9 white people that Ben Stiller has no idea that who you are.
Yeah.
Right? It's when you're big enough, like LeBron James. You just have people doing shit for you.
I feel like Tyka's that big, but because I'm his friend, he has to hang with me. You know, it's like,
No.
Not that he doesn't like me, but like, I feel like if it was anyone else that wasn't close to him, he wouldn't have to spend as much time with me, you know?
Because,
I mean, it's crazy watching your friend blow up like that. I will say that, you know, because, you know, he's just a Maori kid from New Zealand, you know?
It's unbelievable.
And to watch, because he's a genius.
Yeah.
And to watch Because, I mean, like, we were hanging out. First time we hung out, when we really connected, we were talking and we have similar backgrounds. And the song Under Pressure came on.
Love it.
Nice.
And without planning it, he and I stood up in the room and sang it to the whole party and performed it. And it was, you know, David Bowie. I don't forget who was singing which part.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just like funny. To this day, people talk, like, people are like, oh, Under Pressure went on. You should sing it, you know, or whatever.
Did it at a movie, at a party?
At a party.
It's the same party you showed your little movie?
No. I'd learned not to be an asshole.
All right.
At that point.
So and, were there other celebrities at the party?
No. It was all just natives. Oh, well, Cliff Curtis. Do you know who Cliff Curtis is? He's a Maori actor. He was in the movie Sunshine. Mm, did you see that movie Sunshine, the sci-fi?
Oh, no, yeah. With Cillian Murphy.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Killian. I love that guy.
Killian. Yeah.
He's in everything. He always plays like
Killian Murphy.
He plays like
so many races.
Yeah. He plays every race.
That guy's amazing.
He made us dinner that night.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He had like a Maori sort of clothing on and just made this like amazing meal for us. And that's the night that
I love actors like this guy.
Yeah, he's so good. He's played every race.
Everything. You don't really, you know, he's so good.
The sad thing is, can he do that anymore? Like, will they let him play other races?
He might get canceled for that.
Yeah. All right. What is he really? He's native? He's really native?
He's Maori.
What's Mallory?
Maori.
New Zealand.
Maori.
I'm a man that doesn't know much.
Maori from New Zealand. That's what Taika is.
Taika's a Maori.
Maori, babe. Maori.
Why are you getting so angry?
Because
with me?
There's no Mallory.
There's no L.
Maori.
Maori. Yeah.
Maori. Let me just ask you about Maori people, right? Are they indigenous to
New Zealand?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So they were there before the white people came.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Fucking
just like
tough.
The Aborigines in Australia.
Yes.
All right. That's what the Maori
watched people. That whole thing on Kathy Freeman, remember? I made you watch it.
Yeah.
They do the haka, but they fucking yell.
All right.
All blacks.
Yeah, the all blacks.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and then in America, you also, can I ask you stuff like.
Please.
Ignorant stuff about.
Yeah. Please. I love it.
Why?
No, I love your question.
Yeah. Please.
All right. So let me ask you a question, and this is stuff I don't know much about.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I love it.
Is that obviously there's a variety of different styles of
styles,
of natives,
genres,
of native, right?
Yeah.
Different styles from different regions.
Yeah.
Because back then they didn't have locomotives.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you had horses, and that was your prime mode of transportation.
Yeah.
Horses, right?
Mm.
Okay.
I mean, the Spanish brought them over. Yeah.
Before Spanish brought horses over, you guys ran everywhere?
Eagles backs and shit.
Oh. Big ass eagles.
Yeah.
So you have Alexander's different kinds from different regions, right? So you have Inuits.
Yeah.
You have Navajo.
I'm Seminole.
You're Seminole.
And Muscogee Creek.
Muscogee Creek. Yeah. You have Mohawkian.
Mohawk. Yeah.
Mohawk, right? I'm thinking of I don't know any of them.
Algonquin, Cherokee.
Cherokee.
Chickasaw, Choctaw.
Choctaw.
Caddo.
Right. So
Pawnee.
Fucking
Lakota.
So
what do you want?
Let me ask
Cheyenne.
Do you
Navajo.
Think that back before the colonial people came and destroyed this country, right? You know, is that am I going to get in trouble for saying
no,
that?
No, they destroyed it.
They destroyed it. Right.
We
they
were just having it, sex. Right. We were eating fruit.
Right. Right. But do you think that back in the day before they came, if you guys had the internet, that any of this would have happened?
No.
Because you guys would have emailed each other and banded together.
We'd have been like, yo, here's the shit. And there were people that tried to say that. Like, there was a guy, Tecumseh, that went around to different tribes and was like, look, man, the white people are coming.
Yeah.
We got to fucking stick together. And we got to fucking get together and fight them. But it didn't happen. But
why?
If we could... Well, you got to also understand that like, when they first came, it wasn't like a fast thing. It wasn't like one day they showed up and then there was a big battle.
And then there was, and then there was Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly. It was like when they first got here, sickness came with them.
Right.
And we were like, they didn't wash their ass. And like, we're getting sick.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's getting colds, you know?
Yeah.
And so something like 90% of the indigenous people were wiped
from
off the face of the planet. The 90% of the indigenous people in the Americas were dead.
Because of disease.
After the first like 100 years.
Oh my God, it's so sad.
Yeah.
So then, sorry. I shouldn't have ate that sandwich. But what I would have done,
disrespectful.
Gone to different tribes and people and said, let's band together. Also, another thing, I think if you had gunpowder.
Oh yeah.
It would have been different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's another fucked up thing is. Yeah. Just the type of weapon.
Can you imagine, though, like you're sitting there and like you're fucking hanging out. Like my people, right? We were like by Florida and Georgia, and you're just hanging out, and all of a sudden there's fucking boats.
Yeah.
In the distance, like, what the fuck is that?
I would be so petrified.
It would be so scary.
I'd be so scared.
Because you've never seen someone that looks like that.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, all of a sudden, gods are coming. You know, it's like, that's all you would think about is like their spirits or like something. You know, it's like.
Right. Yeah. Or because they're pale. And they're also probably taller or no?
Yeah.
Do you think they're taller?
Maybe.
Yeah. They're all kind of.
Everybody's looking
like,
at George.
Yeah.
He's all tall.
Yeah. I think if they all look like him, they'd be like, oh, fuck it.
Produce our podcast.
Yeah. There are probably ones that look more terrifying than him. If it was like 1,000 of these, they'd be like, oh,
but just imagine those boats approaching.
Oh, like, so scary.
Like, what the fuck?
So fucking scary.
And then it's like, and then all of a sudden they get off. And, you know, at first I think they were trying to be cool. It was like, oh, hey, like, let's trade. You know, I was like, okay. And then all of a sudden you like catch a cold that night.
But do you think that wasn't on purpose? They just.
What?
I mean, they didn't purposely get you sick. They just happened to carry these diseases.
Well, until they realized they could get you sick. And then they started giving out smallpox blankets and purposefully killing tribes of people. You know, like that was after they learned that we didn't have the antibodies to kill these diseases. And once they realized like, oh, we can kill them in another way, they started handing out smallpox blankets and saying like, oh, we're, you know, stay warm.
Yeah. No Pfizer.
Yeah.
I have two questions for you.
Yeah.
Do you hate the movie Last of the Mohicans?
No, I love it.
Well, I know, but the Last of the Mohican is a white dude. They always make, whenever they make a movie like The Last Samurai, Last of the Mohicans, it's always a white dude. Doesn't make it angry?
Yeah, but you have to like realize that we had no movies to grab hold of.
Oh, that's right.
We had no representation. Most of them were John Wayne just shooting us off a horse. So like all of a sudden it's like, what? Like, Daniel Day-Lewis is white, sure, but like he was also adopted, so we can get by that because we did adopt people. And so then you're like,
well, premise. Let me ask you about that premise, right? Yeah. Let's just hear me out, all right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's like we know what the white man is doing to our land, right? So a couple of native guys are walking around. Mm-hmm. They see a fucking white baby. You think they would adopt it, or did they would have done something else?
No, they didn't.
Like, in the movie, they adopted, but in my head, when
but
I'm watching,
historically, they did adopt.
No, they would.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. If they're like ripping up my plan, I would do something else, like throw it like a football or whatever. You know what
just
I mean?
Just punt it?
Yeah.
No, but there's all these accounts of like white kids being kidnapped and adopted.
Oh, that's cool.
And then they would never want to go back. Like then the white people would come and like steal them back. And then they would escape to go back with the natives because they would rather live with the natives.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Because we treated them better.
Now, let me ask you another question.
But Last of the Mohicans is a good movie, though.
It is a pretty good movie. Yeah. And one of the best actors of all time.
Yeah, you know. No denial.
And also, there's a lot of characters in it that made them native people look
and that
very
moment
human.
Where the white girl just jumps off.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so yeah, that was so heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And Wes Studi, who's in Reservation Dogs, he's the bad motherfucker Magua in there. Just like, you know, he's fighting at the end.
Oh, that's
killing
right.
Magua. Well, he's like a comedic character in our show.
That's right. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
I didn't fucking realize it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be so much nicer to the guy when I see him. And then, so let me ask you this. No, I like him. Yeah. So there's a theory, right, that most people think that Native people came from Asia over the years.
Your mom believes this.
Oh, the land bridge.
Right, the Bering Strait, that Asians crossed the Bering Strait, came down Alaska, Canada, and infiltrated the Americas, right? And that's how Native people were, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But there's another theory where it started in America
and
they went the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Asians, Chinese, are really descendants of Native people. What's your theory?
Oh, fuck.
But if you look
can't
at my
right.
DNA...
Yeah. I think we went up that way, but I also think it was both ways.
I mean,
you could go hang out in New Mexico
and
fucking wear the right clothes and people would be like, cousin, like...
Yeah.
Cousin Bob.
Well, also, when I go, I've been, you know, done shows at reservations or at casinos and stuff, and I've had Native people come to the show, and there's always a sort of familiarity.
Like, uncle,
almost.
Uncle.
Yeah. There's always a good vibe,
yeah.
You know what I mean, about it. And when I was in Oklahoma shooting your show, I was literally, because I had these fucking such weird ideas about Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Beforehand, like, it's like ultra right wing.
Yeah.
Ultra, like, sterile. And then... When I was zipping around the town and looking and talking to people and this and that, they're just people just there's hipsters there.
Yeah, yeah.
And cool fucking people.
Yeah.
And I just like the whole like Oklahoma vibe. It's like, and I didn't realize that this is how dumb, but I didn't think there was gonna be a lot of natives there. But I guess that's where a lot of natives are.
Yeah. What did you think?
I thought it was just a bunch of truck drivers. No, but I mean,
what'd you think? What'd you think when you got there? Like,
oh, I whenever there are places where I go and I'll just think, oh, I'll never come back here again. But there are places.
Jillian dressed you too, I think.
Yeah, she was great. Yeah. And there are other places that I go and I'll go on Redfin.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm in a town and I hit on Redfin and I want to look at property.
Oh, yeah.
That means, oh, I would live here.
Yeah.
So I look at how much the houses are. This and that. Not that I would buy a house there, yeah. But I'm just saying that.
No, you should.
Yeah, but it's like, it's a really cool place. And that, what's that steak place?
I think it was Bull in the Alley.
Bull in the Alley, yeah. Right? What's great about it is you zip down, you go down this alleyway, it's and like, there's no sign.
No sign, yeah.
At all. So then I was like asking people, where the fuck is, you know, I'm screaming.
Yeah, you ask.
Yeah. Yeah, anyone fucking know where this, right? And they're like, right there, it's like this kind of barn green door. You walk in and I've had a piece of bacon. What's so funny?
Because I heard the podcast where you said it was the best piece of bacon you'd ever
had. I've had.
That's all he did. He said sent he yelled me a text of bacon.
He said he yelled out loud.
I've had bacon all my life. All right, I would have to say I'm a bacon man.
I mean, you're Korean, so
what does that mean?
A pork
spam?
Because you're so good at pork.
Yeah, yeah.
You're fat.
I'm fat.
No, was, no. Is he,
fuck you.
No, he said pork.
Don't use me, man. That was on you.
He said pork.
You tried to use me. Something about you, man. Right? Right. You ain't no Olympic swimmer either, fucker. Your body is
fucked.
Let
me take my shirt off.
When I saw you coming up on fucking my driveway, I'm like, look at that body. You know what I mean? I would have to even say no, your body is worse than my body.
The first time that I talked, to him, it was great because he goes, it was the first time he saw me not on a camera, and he goes, you're native. Your body.
HR?
That was great, yeah.
Are you, like, when you walk around, you live in Tulsa or Oklahoma?
Tulsa.
I mean,
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Wait, so my bad.
Let it ride.
Let it ride.
Yeah.
You live in Tulsa?
Yeah.
Are you, like, when you walk around, people know who you are?
Yeah.
You're kind of like a
mayor. Like the mayor.
You're sort of like, but I know. So next time I'm there, is there any way one night we could eat somewhere? Or?
I would love to take you out. I mean, like, you know, casting you, I'm going to say something serious right here, because I just like fucking am a fan. You know, I'm like a big fan of you.
We're friends now, though.
Yeah, and I wrote that part for you. Part, you know, not just because I've heard your struggles.
Yeah.
But like, because I'm a fucking fan, it's like, and you know, also like the acting, like I liked your acting a lot, and I wanted you to put you in this show, and writing for you was super easy. That's why I added like San Diego, you know, like all this stuff was in there that was like totally catered to you.
Yeah.
And my hope was that Bobby would read the part and go, you know, but also I'd heard, you know, he had also said that he doesn't read the scripts. And so I was like, man, I hope he reads this because, like, I think he'll know that I am a fan of his.
I should have read it. But you have to defend myself. At the time, I had so much going on, right? I did. I had so much going on. And it's like, I do audition for things. And anyone listening right now that's a showrunner or whatever, I audition. It's just at that time, I was going out of the country and I was stressed out. Anyway.
Wait, you want to hear something that's going to break your heart?
Yeah.
Wait, tell me first.
Yeah, whisper it.
No, it's not that big of a deal.
What is it?
It's not that big of a deal. No,
say it. Go ahead.
Bobby is not a fan of Heartworn Highways.
Oh, really? Yeah.
What's Heartworn Highway?
The documentary.
The documentary with
Guy Clark and them.
Guy Clark.
You hated it?
Fucking stupid that you said. I'm sorry.
Why did you hate that?
Shut the fuck up.
I was like, hey, watch this.
No. She goes, this is what she says. She goes...
I love that movie.
I'm sure it's great.
Me too.
You fucking idiot. You fucking throw me on the bus.
Defend yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to defend myself right now.
He just said we were friends, too.
Anyone that says, any asshole that says, not you, but yeah, anybody that says, hey, you want to watch a documentary on YouTube? It's like, in my thinking, it's like, oh, they can't release it anywhere else. That's why it's on YouTube.
No, I just said it was so, it's old. It's
I know, I'm just saying,
for a while.
I'll watch it if I can stream it on Netflix, Hulu, or fucking Amazon, or I can buy it on iTunes.
Distribute.
I refuse to watch it, a documentary on lo-fi
but
on
you
fucking
love
YouTube.
Music.
I love music, and I'm sure I'm going to love the documentary, but I'm fucking spoiled in that way. Get me HD, baby.
Because you were like, you know, one of your favorite ones is David Byrne, right?
I love Dave Byrne.
I love Dave Byrne.
So that whole what would you call that? Music documentary?
Yeah.
Or the other one with
Stop Making Sense.
Yeah, or the one with LCD sound system.
Oh, I love that one, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, you have to watch Heartworn Highways.
Yeah, and I guess what? I bought Stop Making Sense on iTunes, right? And I bought that fucking LCD sound system on iTunes. And I watch it in HD. If you're Heartworn, you know, whatever.
That's the other thing about Bobby is that he's a cinema fan. I've learned from it's it's not just comedy.
Bro, I just saw rewatched. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but I rewatched Ikuru.
Oh yeah, I watched that the other day.
Oh my
god, fucking
so
good. And I've heard you talk about that movie.
And
before.
I just rewatched Yojimbo.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best. And you know what? Also was a great one.
I thought it was Yojimbo, but fucking bad at language. Seriously.
You might be right.
No, no.
It could be Yojimbo.
I don't know.
I call it Yojimbo.
No, I think you're right.
Okay, well, you know,
you're
I am Asian.
You're Asian.
I am Asian.
So. I know. I believe you.
Right,
I was just making fun of myself.
Anyone listening, you got to either... Yojimbo, though, what I loved about it is, I know it's a Kurosawa film, and it's fucking funny.
Mm.
The characters in it are so fucking... You ever seen it? So funny. There's so many moments of just... We like that one guy with the face that walks in.
Oh, yeah,
right? He's so funny. And then, like, I saw Hidden Fortress.
You've talked about Being There,
one of my favorite movies of all time.
The Reservation Dogs is like, because I'm such a Hal Ashby fan.
And he's great.
And Taika is too. Yeah. We talk about that a lot, about the humor and the emotion sort of with each other, you know, and like Hal Ashby was like a big reference. And I love Being There. It's
if
so
we
good.
Have, we always said that if we had a kid, his name would be Chauncey.
Yeah, Chauncey. For Chauncey Gardner.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So beautiful, those movies. And they're human, though. They're, like, funny. They're, like, emotional, but they're human.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't want to say it. Because I'm gonna say something that's kind of gross. So I got the thing up. So let me ask you another question. You have plans tonight?
No.
What were you going to do tonight?
Nothing.
Do you want to eat with us?
Yes.
That was it?
Yeah.
It's not going to be fancy Tulsa bacon.
Is it like Sugarfish or something like that? Like
Korean.
Okay. Yeah.
You go to Korean?
Yeah, let's do Korean. What? Yeah, he's in LA.
But he has his
own
car, so it's like he should be around here. He has a driver.
I have a driver.
Oh. The driver can't make it to K-Town? What's the problem?
It's so far away. Let's just do something around
here. It's not that far. It's 15 minutes, K-Town.
We'll talk about it later.
This is riveting podcast.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it later. I'll fight about it later.
Okay.
We'll fight about it later.
He's like, what about...
Yeah, yeah.
Unhelpful advice.
Yeah, we're doing
that. Trying to cut the tension. Hey. What are they arguing about?
We're not arguing. I'm just saying that... Let me just finish this argument real quick. We can cut it up. Yeah, yeah. Let me just finish this up, right?
Yeah. It's Tiger Belly.
Anywho, we'll talk about where we're going to eat afterwards.
You know what I wish? You know what my biggest wish is?
Here we go.
Is that one day you play the flute for my pussy.
Could Dr. Kang do that in Susan?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Flute pussy.
One day.
I'll do it. I know how to play the flute.
You do?
Yeah. I played the flute. That was the first instrument I learned.
And it flute. Was towards a pussy.
Yeah.
Well, dream might be realized after all. Go ahead, Gil.
Also, this is how old was this picture? This is a really great picture of you. Oh, shoot. I can't.
Oh, don't even put that. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. This,
you look so different. I was like, looking
so
you
awful.
Up.
That looks like
that.
A
so
native
cute.
Woman.
I know. It does.
I was like, is that your
sweetie? I was telling someone. I was telling someone the other day, literally, one of the worst photos sessions I've ever taken was this. And this was actually my IMDb photo forever. I didn't know how to change it.
You know,
it's on IMDb.
Carolyn, Bobby has had so many emotional meltdowns
over
his IMDb
photo. I can't take it down.
And it's
it takes forever.
Which one is it? It's
you have to
the
be a hacker.
I'm like doing this weird
breakdance
thing. I hate it.
You have to be a hacker.
And I've changed it. Like, I've literally called him and been on the phone. Just be like, look, he's having an emotional breakdown. They won't let me, even on IMDb Pro. Oh,
that.
Oh man, that's so
my
old.
IMDb.
I thought I changed it for you, sweetie, but I was unsuccessful.
What trailer is that?
I don't know. Love?
No.
That's the trailer that's playing on your thing.
What? I'm not in that. Anyway, take that out. I hate that photo. Look at that.
We'll
grabbing my penis?
We'll change it. We'll change it.
Is that embarrassing, my photo?
No, it's not that bad, but it's like a younger you. It's like the older you.
Right, I'm a new vibe.
Yeah, you're a new, totally new vibe.
I have a new vibe.
Better vibe.
A way better vibe, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. The beanie.
Yeah, I'm not playful hair. In that way. You know, I'm.
You don't have gel in your hair, spiky.
All right, man.
Diesel jeans.
Diesel.
Do the unhelpful advice.
Unhelpful advice with Bobby, Kalina, and Sterling.
Hello, Tiger Belly. I am a 30-year-old Asian American woman, and I've never been in love. I've never been in a serious relationship my whole life. I have a problem with finding a man. I get asked quite often, but every single man that has entered my life has been unpromising. A little backstory. I grew up similar to Bobby, where my dad was a rage monster. I know I have commitment issues due to my childhood trauma, but I also developed a high standard for men in my life. I always grew up fearing I would meet a man like my dad and turn out to be just like my mom. So when I see this, it's a red flag for me. Do you guys think I should lower my standards in men and double down in hopes of falling in love? Or if I don't lower my standard, well, I'll just be single the rest of my life.
I think it's a reframe.
So the issue is that she likes a higher standard?
Well, yeah. It's...
I missed the first part. Fuck.
Hey, wait, you get it one time? Now you gotta go off.
I think you should just reframe the way you're saying lower your standards. Even the way you use the word unpromising. I think that there's promise in everyone you meet, but if you go into the room thinking that he's got to hit all the boxes, you're not really allowing yourself or allowing, you know, a relationship to ever, you know, flourish from there because you're like, well, he's not checking these boxes. So you're not being open. And that's really all I have to say about that is that you can't have these like...
No.
Like, you got to... No, here's the thing, babe. It's like...
Nope.
If I were to just on paper, you're disastrous. No. On paper, right?
Wait. On paper, I'm disastrous?
Yeah, if someone...
Oh, really? Oh, really? Okay, so...
College let's degree.
Hit podcast.
Yeah.
Pull up the IMDb real quick.
When I hit first podcast. Met you.
Oh.
When I first
even met then, you. Even then it was bad. It wasn't bad. But I paid for every meal.
Based on my standards, basically.
Oh, yeah, I'm not fucking Michael Phelps?
No, even like the height standard of like 5'4" you didn't meet.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have that. Why was that even in your thing?
That's what so I'm shallow. Saying. That's what she that's might 5'4 have.
5'4 is not a thing.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I'm trying to say that when I had coffee with you, I took that Criterion book and I was like, fuck this. I like this guy. Whatever amalgamation
this
of
red
fucking...
fat right here. This red fat right here has a beautiful girlfriend. You know what I mean? She didn't have a fucking list.
I'm defending her love.
Yeah. She said I was handsome.
No, no, no.
You are handsome.
Thank you.
And he's got you on the height. What I'm saying is this. Look.
I didn't do anything. I'm your friend. I cast you in a movie.
His body's like lava.
Season 2, babe. Season 2. Okay,
my bad. It's like, look at that fat
look
butt.
At these muscles.
I'm kidding. I love you. But what I'm saying.
Why are you? I'm not arguing.
What I'm saying to this lady is this, all right? Don't listen to her. Look at Sterling and I, okay? Yeah. We look like, you know, it's an old joke.
Handsome.
No, we look like garbage bag full of oatmeal. That's what our body looks like.
But oatmeal is healthy for you.
Yeah, right?
Oatmeal is
we're
healthy.
Just like globs, right? But we're creative. We're fun. We have funny laughs.
Yes.
Right? And we support our lives through art, yeah. Right? Yeah. And being creative, right? So it's like, you know, you got to change what you think you want.
Yeah, except do not settle on his character. If his character is shit... That's the one thing you should never settle on. But in terms of looks, his job, like tiny little things here and there, yeah, absolutely lower your standards because you'll meet so many, I don't know, you're just opening up yourself to people like Bobby, who's an amazing, wonderful creature.
Talented.
Talented creature.
Yeah. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
When you look like that, you know what I mean, yeah. On the photo, back then, and you were probably struggling. Were you struggling as an artist back then, or
yeah, no money.
Right. Did you get girls then?
Yeah. Wow. I'm a nice guy.
Oh, you're a nice.
You guy. Seem like you've always been confident.
Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah, you're know? A confident
I'm
guy.
I'm fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a fun guy.
You gotta be fun.
Yeah. I love this guy.
Yeah.
So any other ones?
A lot of them are honestly for Reservation Dogs. People just saying you were awesome in it in episode two. Seriously.
I'm not kidding.
It's a hit.
Seriously.
My Twitter is full of it.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's the first time I've had friends
same
my age text
what
me.
Do you mean? Like they're writing you about it.
Well, it's more like people my age are watching it. Because a lot of things that he's been on, it's just either not what my friends are watching. They're not interested in it. Like every friend group I've had, there's one person who's like, holy shit, why didn't you tell me Bobby was in Res Dogs? My friends from Hawaii, my close friends, my every single person my age is watching it. Mm-hmm. And I really, really love that. It's people like you who need to make shit that people actually my age want to watch.
But here's the compliment that was the best.
What?
Do you remember the story that I told you?
Yeah.
That when I graduated from high school, there was one guy from AA who was against the fence and he came to see my graduation.
Yeah.
He Facebook messaged me.
Whoa.
And he goes, it's been 25 years since I've talked to you or whatever, but I just have to say, you were great in Reservation Dogs.
Yeah.
My point is that dudes that I haven't seen in 30 years.
No, oh, that's sweet.
Mm.
You know, are reaching out, you know.
And our neighbor.
And this Saturday.
Seriously.
And this Saturday, I'm trying to go to my 30th high school reunion.
In Poway?
Yeah, it's in San Diego. And I think I just shit my pants. But
that wasn't an accident. I saw you push.
I saw your stomach move.
Anyway.
Why are you grabbing your dick like that? The shit doesn't come out that hole.
Can I tell you something?
It could be making its
it
way out.
It comes out that hole? No, just come
out. I gotta tell
but
you.
Because that would be a fistula. That's not good.
Because you might have to cut this out.
Yeah.
But sometimes the tip of my dick smells, and I figured out why.
Okay. Continue.
God, this hurts my heart.
I know. I figured out why.
God damn it.
What?
Talk about horrible on paper. This is why.
All right. I'll tell you why. I'm going to use this little guy. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
if anyone needs more imagery,
right?
There you go.
So
exact replica.
It's an exact replica of my penis. All right. Except mine has bigger eyes. So let's say this is the head of my penis, right?
Yeah.
Now what's happening is the skin around my penis is engulfed it.
What do you mean?
Right. So like it's
you grew foreskin.
Yeah, I grew foreskin over it. I have to undo it, right? So during the day, right, it cups it like this.
You're not circumcised?
No, I am
circumcised.
He's growing.
For some reason, why the
come
skin
back.
Around
came
the
back.
Yeah, the skin around my shaft.
It's unnatural.
The skin around my shaft is like gotten loosey.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? Maybe I can get
like a lizard's tail. Just
exactly.
Gross.
Not really a lizard, but anyway. And so it's engulfed it, right? And I think the sweat and buildup and this and that has made it smell a little weird.
Babe, that's called schmegma. And if you knew anything about being uncircumcised, you'd know that you're supposed to clean that area.
How many times?
All the time that it's there.
Anyway, thanks for listening to Tiger.
Check out Reservation Dogs.
Check out Reservation Dogs. Check out Sterling has a bunch of projects coming out.
So many.
We obviously
season two.
Obviously season two is probably going to happen. Dr. Kang's going to happen. And honestly, dude, not only is it cool knowing you, and I feel like we're friends now, but I want to thank you for inviting me on to your show. It was fun. It's like I love being a part of something that's special and that's amazing. And thank you so much, man. I had a blast doing it. I love the crew. I love those kids. And thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And
you're coming back,
Sterling. Yeah, you're kind of always do this. And anything you ever want to do, promote, you're always invited to my podcast. Okay.
Cool.
All right.
Perfect.
Give him a round of applause. You. Fucking amazing.
Thank you.
That was amazing. I have to take a shit real quick and don't leave.
Yeah.
All right. I have to take a shit real quick and then we'll talk.
To take a shit. Don't leave.